Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
So yeah, a story over the weekend that this is in the daytime and Saturday in Chicago that some, you know, feds, some ICE agents were looking for a little of an assist from Chicago PD. They did not get it. And there was a news conference by the superintendent of police in Chicago today about all this. Here's what J.B. Pritzker says. He doesn't even believe ICE at all.
We don't have a lot of facts. Remember, these are the same folks who killed a person, an unarmed person, just a couple of weeks ago in Franklin Park. At first, they said that the officer had been threatened with his life. The reality of it and the truth of it has now come out, and that wasn't the case. They killed somebody. They are just putting out their propaganda, and we've got to later determine what actually happened.
Yeah, for that fat ass to use the word propaganda is quite something. J. Peter Zane, who writes at Real Clear Investigations, is back with us this afternoon. You kind of talked about this a little bit, the progressive flight from reality. J.B. Pritzker, exhibit A, I think, in that whole thing, right? Peter, how are you this afternoon?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things, so thanks for having me on. One of the examples that I used to lead off that piece was that he denounced White House aides for calling Democrats fascists.
Yeah.
Think how we've heard for the last, think how he has called ICE agents Gestapos, I mean, which is a whole other issue than what I was getting into, but that's disgusting that an elected official would say that about law enforcement agents who are carrying out their jobs and to smear them all.
Well,
you know, and if somebody did something wrong, that's fine. But what he just did really crosses the line.
Well, and one of the points you're making, this kind of cross-pollinates a little bit with this big media story of the day, and I just spent a good portion of this hour talking about Barry Weiss and Paramount and CBS News. Mm-hmm. But, you know, one of the points of your column is that this has gone even well past just misleading people, some of the things from the Democrats and the legacy media reporting on it. This has become more than even misinformation. It's complete denial, and it's a mental condition in many cases. So I wonder, and I don't know if you're hopeful and you know much about what Barry's all about, Peter, but I'm hopeful that she can change this climate and get a little bit of a focus on more appropriate angles of some of these stories that most of these networks and print publications just completely ignore.
So I think it's going to be a very interesting test case. I'm not sure that she's, first of all, a real true believer. I don't know how much she's in the pocket of the establishment anyway, but if she wants to restore journalistic ethics, she's going to have to fight a lot of battles with the people who are already there. And to some extent, you can see Trump inheriting a bureaucracy that is largely opposed to what he wants to do. He's come in and, you know, really taken some aggressive actions. He still hasn't completely changed it, but she's going to have to do something like that. She's not just going to send a memo to these people and say, you have to start being fair. And they're going to say, oh, okay, because they think they're being fair.
No, that's true. It's going to be a long, tedious process, and maybe she fails. Maybe I'm, you know, giving her a little bit too much credit, and maybe I'm hoping too unrealistically. But I think that this is a real potential because I think she's got guts. She's got courage. She showed that in leaving the New York Times. I read the FP all the time. One of the things, though, let's get to maybe a way that a story could be handled differently, because you cite what Jimmy Kimmel did a few weeks ago, and this claim that the assassin was actual MAGA. Well, there was never a focus on the factoid part of that, was there? It was only about
right. What
Jimmy said and how he said it and that he offended. But no one really wanted to dig into the, hey, he was misleading people significantly on this front. Why isn't that part of the conversation? I never really heard that on CNN. They didn't want to tackle that. They wanted to talk about freedom of speech and the First Amendment and all this stuff that the Trump administration's doing. They didn't really want to approach it from a different angle, which is pretty typical.
They wanted to bring it back to some ground where they actually could be on the right side. Oh, we're for free speech. I mean,
right.
You know, who isn't except them? But I think the point with Kimmel, and can think back to how many times they have repeated the lie about Charlottesville.
Oh, yeah.
Good people on both sides. He told people to inject bleach. So with this column, as I have thought about these kinds of lies more and more, I've gone from this is a tactic to mislead and smear to I think these people really live in a delusional world where these things happened. For Jimmy Kimmel to go on TV, not one day after the shooting or 2 days when we didn't really know much about Tyler Robinson, but 5 days after, and claim he was MAGA, is he probably believed it. And not because he saw different press reports that indicated his parents were Mormon or whatever nonsense he would have done, but I think he wanted to believe it, so that made it true. I think that when they attack Trump for going after James Comey, so he's weaponizing the justice system, I think that they have completely memory wiped all of the weaponization they did, and they feel they're on firm ground to go after this guy because their own reality is they never do anything wrong. So what happened in the past is irrelevant to what they're doing going forward. And that was really what I was trying to argue, is they've kind of crossed a Rubicon where they've gone from sort of tendentiously misleading us to they're now believing their own nonsense. And it's kind of remove them from the reality that the rest of us live in. That's my argument.
No, I do think you're right that they, you know, they end up believing that. And that's why I feel like it's so important. I don't think you're going to get a lot of people on the left to even open their eyes. They're going to say, oh, Barry Weiss is, even though she's not a conservative, they're going to think that somehow conservatives are taking over at CBS News. And the NPR, you know, listeners that watch CBS News will probably be turned in a different direction. I mean, maybe one of the networks goes even harder lefty to compete. I have no idea how this is going to work itself out. But what I do know is that there are stupid things that politicians say, that other people say all the time, that are left unchecked. And there's never a time seemingly where a reporter circles back. This happened with Cori Bush here in St. Louis when she would always say that, you know, police are killing all of our young. Well, there was no evidence of that whatsoever. Never. But she got away with it, you know, to say in the Washington Post or the St. Louis Post-Dispatch or wherever, because nobody ever challenged her. Here's one. This is from, I played this the other day, from Bernie Sanders. Check this out.
Senator, you've served in Congress and then the Senate, and you served through a number of different administrations with different presidents. And I've covered a number of shutdowns. I've never seen a president during a shutdown kind of gloating about the ability to punish people or to take stuff away from people in states that didn't vote for him. Have you seen that before?
No, of course we haven't. You know, Chris, we are living in an unprecedentedly dangerous moment. Maybe the worst crisis in America, literally, since the Civil War.
Okay, so two things about that. That was Chris Hayes. The follow-up by Chris Hayes is, Senator, that's just ludicrous. That's ridiculous.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
How could you compare this era in politics to the Civil War? But he just says it, and then it gets out there, and then all the lefties who hate Trump say, yeah, this is worse than ever. You know, there's no freedom of speech. The country's gone to hell. All, you know, they never correct the narrative. So they run with the narratives. They love the narratives. They reinforce the narratives. They'll never challenge the narratives. I think Barry is willing to challenge the narratives. That's my hope.
Oh, yeah, no. I think that just she's taking over an organization that is filled with lots of people who have their own lines of authority. One of the things that was so incredible, if you go back to Reagan and Gorbachev, was Reagan had a bunch of people whispering in his ear, don't make peace with them. Gorbachev probably had even more. So the courage of leaders, it can be done, but you have to really be an extraordinary person. And I don't know whether that's she's going to be able to
do
that.
No, I get it, because it's such a big task. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah. No, and I don't know if she wants to do it. I don't know how committed.
I hope she does.
I'll tell you a funny thing. I was just reading a New York Times story on her, and they said she has shown more of an interest in combating wokeness than promoting traditional journalistic standards. And, of course, the point is that the only way we can go back to traditional journalistic standards is by getting rid of wokeness, which is the pollution,
right. So,
which is the illiberalism.
That's a great example, and that's I hope and I know Barry will see that point and she'll roll her eyes because, look, I think she is committed to both. But you're right, there's a crossover there because if you're not, you know, pointing out the wokeness nonsense, then you're not doing your job. And unfortunately, you know, this is a great example here in St. Louis. And we had Washington University, Jamie Reed comes forward and she does this unbelievable, you know, op-ed about what's happening to these poor kids at Washington University Children's Hospital. I mean, it's basically it's child abuse, right? Which we're now eliminating and they no longer do that.
Right.
But it's treated by the media. And what the Post did here is, you know, where they went to get reaction to the trans activists. They didn't go to your everyday parent or someone who might be concerned.
Right.
They go, quote, the trans activists, and they go with that narrative. I've got a TV reporter here at our NBC affiliate, Michelle Lee. Interestingly enough, she took down the she, her, but she told me in a tweet, she blocked me since, but she told me because I was questioning whether or not she should have her identifiers in her bio at the top of the page, and she was covering some alphabet mafia issues. I asked, how could you cover that fairly? And she said to me in a tweet, I'm an advocate for the LGBTQI plus community. So you're an advocate for a community that you're doing reporting on. How in the world would we have fairness? Well, that's rhetorical, as you know, Peter. We would not have fairness
right.
in that particular situation. So what Barry is facing, interestingly enough, and she's a lesbian, but she's facing a lot of those people at CBS News. And I have friends in that organization who are big lefties, and they will reject this because mainly because of Trump. So doing what she's about to do in the era of Trump is completely different than doing this in the area of not Trump, and that's where she might find...
Oh, wouldn't have even happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wouldn't even happen if Biden was still president. I mean, one place you can look to, and I really keep my fingers crossed, don't get me wrong, that she can do it. I just think it's going to take a lot of courage. It's going to be hard. But look at the Washington Post in the last few days. They just got rid of a whole bunch of people in their opinion section and brought on some others. So what she is going to, one of the signs you're going to see with her, and not right away, but, you know, does she get rid of a bunch of people? Because that is the only way. These are hardcore, committed leftists who are over there. She's not going to reform them because, like I said in my column, they believe this. They believe that the Republicans are shutting down the government, even though the Republicans passed a clean resolution that is not getting passed in the Senate because of Democrats.
Even Kristen Welker, might be my audio cut of the day, even she called them out on that on Meet the Press. So maybe there is a little change in the air. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. I like that. And the other thing is, which nobody's asking since we just brought this issue up, I did, is how come nobody says to the Democrats, you passed these things as COVID relief measures, okay? And they had a sunset on them. If you believed that these were necessary, why didn't you just say, we want to spend $20 trillion in the next 50 years on these subsidies?
Stop asking a legitimate question. Yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah,
that's too fair.
But they don't even ask that question.
Of course not. Of course not. Peter Zane, always great to have you on. I appreciate it.
Get more at 971talk.com.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.